Amen. All right. Well, gathering, it's good to see you guys. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to Psalm chapter 1. We're going to start at the beginning of Psalms. As you get there, I want to just kind of introduce the idea of why we're going to be in Psalms chapter 1. Because when I was a young adult, surprise, I'm no longer a young adult, but the biggest thing that would capture me was fear. Fear had my number, fear had my heart, fear had my thoughts, fear had all of me. And as I thought about what was the specific fear that I had, it was one thing. It was the fear of the unknown. I don't know what my life will be. I don't know what I will do. I don't know where I will be. I don't know who I'll be around. I don't know if I'll get married or not. I don't know if I'll make any money. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And so I was captured by fear. Because every decision that I made, underneath that decision was, well, what if it doesn't go well? What if I don't succeed? What if I'm alone? What if, what if, what if? And all the what ifs were always negative when it came to the unknown. I never walked around confident with like, well, what if it goes awesome? What if it works out better than I think? Like, I don't know about y'all, but that's just not how my brain ticks. It's always with fear. And what the fear comes from is the unknown. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to look at Psalm chapter 1, then we're going to end the night with Psalm 23. And here's why we're going to do that, is we're going to look at Psalm 1. If you look at your Bible, and there's probably a little title over that little section, and most likely it's going to say something like two ways, or the wicked and the righteous. We just sang a song praising King Jesus. If you're new here at the gathering tonight, one thing you need to know is that one of the things we talk about a lot is about the kingdom of God, because that is the gospel that Jesus preached. He said, the kingdom of God has come near. But there are only two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of God, and then there's the kingdom of this world, or another way to say it is the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of self. And I know for a fact that when I am enslaved to the unknown, it is because I am looking solely through the lens of self. I'm solely looking at my life and my situations, my future, all the unknowns through the lens of all of me, my hopes, my dreams, my insecurities, my weaknesses, my perceived strengths, my gifts and my talents, or the things that I don't have and somebody else is better. That is usually when I'm looking through the lens of self. And so I love that we sang this song tonight. We aligned our hearts thinking and praising King Jesus, because that is the kingdom that Jesus invites us into. The resurrection of Easter is not just so we can put on our pastel clothes and take some nice pictures with our family and eat some chocolate. It's actually the recognition that King Jesus reigns. Not just he's a good guy with good lessons and good ideas, he's a great teacher or philosopher, is that he is the king of the universe. And even death cannot hold him. I don't know about you, but I think death can hold me. And so we come together tonight and every week to realign our hearts and our minds that there is a God who loves you, and there is a God who has created you to do life and be with him in his kingdom. Not just someday down the road, but today, right now, tomorrow, this week, this month, this season of your life, God has created you to be with him. And so in Psalm 1, we're gonna look at two kingdoms. You're gonna see the psalmist compare the kingdom of the wicked and the kingdom of the righteous. We'd say that is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of self. So let's read, let's get into this. Verse 1, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. Now, we don't usually use the words wicked and righteous, so let me give you a different way of thinking about that exact same word. When we think wicked, think those who are opposed to God and God's ways. Those are the wicked. Because if you look around this world, you see people who are opposed to the ways of God, but we probably wouldn't say, well, they are wicked. That sounds super judgmental, right? And so we're gonna be like, well, they're opposed to the ways and the word of God. And so he's putting these two people against each other. Those who are opposed to God and the righteous are those who are planted in God's ways and God's word, okay? So let's walk through this really quickly. The first thing we see in verse one is we see this amazing little phrase, how happy. Maybe your Bible says how blessed. It's actually the word happy, like benefit. Really, their well-being is fantastic, all right? So it says, how happy is the one who does not. Oh, there's the does not. This is the bad rap that Christians get. It's like, I can't do this and I can't do that. But here's the crazy thing is what the psalmist is doing is he's showing you the positive of not doing. What the enemy would love to tell you and me is that by not doing something, you're actually missing out. And that's just not the case. Actually, you are getting. So let's continue on. He says, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, those opposed to God, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, those that make fun of Christians, those who make fun of the righteous. They're mocking. And if you notice, there's a bit of a progression of posture here in this passage. Did you guys catch it? What are they doing first? Tell me out loud. What's the first thing they're doing? I'm currently doing it. Walking, there it is, okay. What's the next thing that they do? They stand, they stop. And then what do? They sit. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm looking for a good restaurant and I'm walking at downtown, maybe some place with all these outdoor cafes, I'm walking and I'm looking, what do I wanna eat? What sounds good? And eventually I'm gonna stop and I'm gonna look at a menu right outside the door and start having a conversation with myself and say, oh, that looks good. I think, can I afford that? Nope, let's keep going, let's get, right? Like, that's just what we do. And then finally, when you make your decision, what do you do? Come on, guys, this is not rocket science. You sit. And so what you see here in Psalm 1 is the progression of a person. First, they're shopping around, they're looking, they're walking. And then they stop and they listen, and then they sit, they've made their decision. The psalmist is saying, happy are those who do not do that, who don't listen and shop around about the things that oppose the Lord. He says, no, that we're gonna get there in a second in verse two, but this is what we do, isn't it? This is what we do with life. Think about the things that we are shopping nowadays. Now, you guys probably don't even go to malls anymore, but like, we shop all the time. We just do it like this. We're just shopping. What will make me laugh? What will entertain me? What will intrigue me? What rabbit trail do I wanna go down today and learn about the most random facts in the entire world, right? Like, we're shopping. And then you look at your algorithm, that's where you have stopped. They know what it is. The algorithm knows where we have stand, where we've stood. And now the next move is we just start to sit. We start to be like, this is who I am. And the dangerous thing about this is that this world doesn't care about you. They just wanna sell you stuff. They wanna get your attention. That's what's for sale. And what the psalmist is saying is like, this is like an ancient version of what we're experiencing today. There's a walking and there's a standing and there's a sitting. Are you aware of where you are walking and where you are standing and where you have decided to sit. I'll bet you if you open your algorithm and you start scrolling, you'll see very quickly where they think you are walking, standing, and sitting. They think they know who you are. The enemy would say, no, this is who you are. Keep going. We'll feed you more of everything that you do not have. Because at the end of the day, why do we walk around? We don't know what's next. It's the unknown of life. We're walking, we're looking. You guys are young adults. You're constantly looking like, what is next? What's the next job? What's the next move? What's the next friend group? What's the next date that I'm gonna go? What's next? What's next? It's the unknown. And as we walk around in the unknown, I don't know about you, but fear usually, and desperation maybe, drives my actual decisions because I want to know. The question is, tonight, as we walk through Psalm 1, have you found yourself in the unknown? And then as you seek the known, you become enslaved to the fear of the unknown. Does that make sense? Let's continue on verse 2. So don't do that. He says, instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. And then he gives us a picture here. He is like a tree planted beside the flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You see, if we were to give a title to point one, is it matters where you go with your eyes and your mind and your heart and your soul. It matters where you walk and it matters where you stand and it matters where you sit with your mind and your eyes and your heart and your soul. It matters where you go. But then we turn to the righteous in verse 2. He says, instead of that, do this. And what I love about this passage is you start to get a little taste of what you actually get. It's not you're missing out. This is what you get. He says, instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. I'm going to be the first one to tell you right now. Delighting in God's instruction does not come natural to me. It just doesn't. Like there's a lot of discipline that comes to getting in God's word on a regular basis and delighting in his word and his ways. It's just our fallen nature, I believe. We're so easily pleased with simpler, quicker, more productive things. I can go be busy instead of sitting with God in his word. I can be more efficient. I can be doing, you know, like it's just a little bit more of that quick gratification. But what I will tell you is you look around this world enough, you are probably familiar with the phrase acquiring a taste. Has anybody ever acquired a taste for something that you didn't like at first? For me, it's coffee. I hate coffee. I don't know who drinks coffee the first time, like that's delicious. It is not delicious. That is why Starbucks and 7-Brew and every other company makes billions of dollars because coffee is disgusting. And so what do they tell you? Oh, we'll add some sugar and we'll add some cream and we'll add some coconut flavor. Like they just add because they know coffee is terrible. So can we not argue about that? It's not good. But somehow we acquire a taste for it. Why? Because of what it does for us. It wakes us up in the morning a little quicker. It gives us a little more focus early in the morning. Or maybe it's that thing that we connect over. We can go, let's go get a coffee. No one likes to go get the coffee. We like the conversation that comes with the coffee. And so we have to look when it comes to God's word, if we're not naturally just saying, I cannot wait, which I'm right there with you. A TV show's easier. A movie's better. It's just natural. But we gotta ask ourselves is what do we get though? What do we get? And luckily the psalmist tells us what we get. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. He meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now, I am not talking about prosperity gospel at all. What I'm saying is that when we live according to God's word and God's ways, when we marinate in this, when we meditate on this, and we align our heart and our mind on the way we were created to be with God, living life the way God would live it if he were us, you will bear fruit in your life in every season. I love that the psalmist says every season, because it'd be easy to say, well, you will bear fruit and you'll never have a problem if you're with Jesus. That is not the case. Life is hard. But here's the thing. It's really hard when you're doing it all by yourself. But with God, walking with Jesus, letting the Holy Spirit work through you, you will bear fruit even in the most barren of seasons. And so you don't need to fear the unknown. Because here's the cool thing, is in the face of the unknown, if you are a Christian, if you are walking with God, if you're working towards delighting in his word and living out his ways, you will walk with the God who knows the unknown. He already knows. We may not know where we'll be tomorrow or next year or in 5 years. We may not know what we'll be doing in 10 years. We don't know. It's the unknown. But you know who does know? God knows. God knows. And so you can walk through seasons of unknown fear and unknown anxiety with an actual curiosity and excitement, because it's now like, God, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Your promise is that I will bear fruit in every season. Not just the good ones, in every season. In the lonely season, in the dry season, in the abundant season, whatever season you are walking in, if you are walking with God, the one who knows the unknown, you will bear fruit in every season. Let's continue on. So verse 1, it matters where you go. Verse 2 and 3, plant yourself on purpose. Be purposeful where you plant yourself. He says, "Plant. You will be like a tree planted beside flowing streams." This is life. Flowing streams is imagery of life. It is not stagnant water. It's not toxic water. It is flowing and it is full of oxygen and it helps that tree grow. You walk with the Lord. You delight in his word and his ways, and you will be like a tree planted next to streams of living water. And it says you will bear much fruit in every season. I love this imagery of a tree. I love it because when you go to a tree, who is the shade of the tree for? Anybody know? Is the shade for the tree? No, it's for you and I to sit under the tree. When you walk past an apple tree, who is the fruit for? Is it for the tree? No. It's for the people that walk past the tree who are hungry. And so my point here is that you are like a tree, and the people around you, your friends, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your family, your coworkers, they're all eating off the fruit of your tree. And so it becomes not just important for us as individuals, but for our community, that we are planted next to streams of living water, that we are walking in his word and living out his ways, because you will produce fruit in your life. Whether you want to or not, you will produce fruit. And the people you interact with, the people you date, the person you marry, they will be the first benefactors or detractors of the fruit of your life. And so the question is, are you planting yourself on purpose? Or are you just kind of going with the flow wherever you find yourself? This is where I'll plant myself. This is where these are the accounts I'm gonna scroll through. This is what I'm gonna subscribe to. This is where I'm gonna spend my time. That's all planting. You're planting, you're planting. Like, this is what we do. Because we don't know everything that's happening, the unknown, we'll take whatever we get to give us some sense of security, certainty, comfort, and peace. And here's the crazy thing. Is I think if the enemy knows, that's what we want. We want to know. We want peace. We want clarity. We want certainty. And so we will be offered all the time things that feel like security and things that feel like certainty and things that feel like peace, when in the end, they bear no fruit. Look at verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. The Lord, this is another thing that you get. When you follow Jesus, you get a good shepherd who watches over you. You are never alone as a Christian. And so it doesn't matter what the unknown is. You've got the good shepherd. You have God himself who made you, wired you, and gave you every talent, or didn't give you those talents. He knows you, and he's with you. And it says he watches over you. Not the way with the wicked. They are on their own. They're alone. And so Psalm 1 is pitting these two people against each other, the wicked, those who are opposed to God, and those who are planted next to streams of living water, who are drawing their nutrients from God's word and walking out God's ways. And the promise is that you will bear fruit in every season. And so it matters where you go. We need to plant ourselves on purpose, not just like happenstance. Like, where are you planting your life? What is your mind planted in? What is your eyes planted in? What is your heart planted in? I know for me, it's certainty. I want certainty. I'm an Enneagram 6. I want certainty like I want water. I want security. I want to know. I'm always running worst case scenarios in my head because I don't want to be, I don't want to not know when something happens. And that may not be it for you, but this is how we function. We want to know the unknown. And when we don't know the unknown, we start to grab and plant ourselves anywhere and in anything that gives us some semblance of control and knowing. But at the end of the day, if it's not God, it will lead to ruin. Because that thing that we chase, that thing that we think will make us full and happy and whatever, will let us down. It will lead us to ruin. But God is the good shepherd. So let's fast forward to Psalm 23. Because you're gonna get an even bigger and better picture of who God is when the psalmist is saying, hey, he will watch over you. Well, who's watching over you? Have you ever asked, who is God? Who is he? What's he like? I think it's Exodus 34, where God tells Moses who he is. Like, go look it up in Exodus. He says, I am loving and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Steadfast love is hesed love. It's a love that is solely dedicated to the receiver of his love. There is no selfish love in God. It is hesed love, faithful, steadfast. You'll see that word over and over and over attributed to how God loves. It is hesed love, H-E-S-E-D, hesed love. It is for the benefit of the one receiving the love. That is who God says he is. And at the end of that passage, he says, but I will not leave those who are wicked unpunished. I love it. We have a good shepherd that not only is loving and merciful, but he is just. And he has the power to bring justice. We live in a world that we want to see justice so bad. But we can't do anything about it. We're just a nobody. But our good shepherd is not just loving and compassionate. He is also just. Now let's look at Psalm 23. Let me get there with you. This is one of the most famous psalm in all of the scriptures. I want you to focus in on, I want you to underline, if you're a note taker, I want you to underline every single thing that you see the good shepherd doing for his sheep, okay? Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life or soul. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful hesed love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Did you guys catch this? There's two ways. There's the way of the wicked, those who are opposed to God, and there is the way of the righteous, those who have planted themselves in a trusting relationship, surrendered to God, letting the good shepherd lead us. We're surrendered to him. King Jesus, the one that rose from the dead last Sunday, we surrender our lives to him, not because of shame or duty, it's because we get God. And if you look through here, here's what we got. I'm getting old. We get a shepherd. He lies us down in green pastures, which means there's plenty. We have no need. He leads us beside quiet waters. We don't have to lead ourselves. He leads us. He knows what we need. He leads us. We just follow. Verse 3, he renews my life, my soul. I don't know about you guys, but this is why we go on vacation, don't we? We spend thousands of dollars going on vacations to renew our soul, when right here, the good shepherd says, I will do it for you. I will renew your soul. He leads me along right paths, not dangerous, not wrong, but right paths. Even when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkest valleys, I will fear no danger. Why? Because you are not alone. The Lord is with you. The good shepherd doesn't leave his sheep. And so you can go through the hardest season of your life, the driest season of your life, the loneliest season of your life, and you don't have to fear. Because it says that his rod and his staff, they what? They comfort you. I'm gonna take a rabbit trailer for a second, young adults. Here's the thing. We do everything we can to escape the valley of the shadow of death in life. Difficulty, things that are uncomfortable, things that are unpleasant. We avoid it like the plague. Just get me to a place where I don't feel bad. According to Psalm 23, there is a specific comfort that is only available to you in the valley. And if we try to escape the valley, you will never experience the comfort of God in the valley. You will have an idea of it, but there is a unique comfort of God Almighty when you are in the valley that you will never experience on the mountaintop. There is a comfort and a presence of God with you in the valley that you will never experience unless you just sit in the valley and say, God, tend to my soul. That's the promise. He says, you prepare a table before me. He's the one that prepares the table. We're not preparing the table. He will fight our battles in the presence of our enemy. It's his battle. And then verse 6, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. He is planted next to streams of living water in Psalm 1 and in Psalm 23. And so what we see is that when we chase the unknown by ourselves, we will constantly be running out of fear and we'll exhaust ourselves because we cannot know. The cure for your anxiety of the unknown, all right, your cure. This is what I see here in Psalm 1 and Psalm 23. The cure for your anxiety is not a pill. It is not certainty. It is not knowing everything. That is not the cure, because there'll just be another situation that you don't know. Here's the cure: curiosity about what the good shepherd is doing. That's the cure. Is you take your anxiety and you choose curiosity and you go to God and say, God, you are my good shepherd. You are the one that walks me beside green pastures and still waters, and you're the one that comforts my soul in the valley. And so God, wherever I am, I know you are with me. What are you doing? And then all of a sudden, I'm not saying it's easy. What I'm saying is you have a better option than just grinding through life all by yourself. And you can turn to God, who is with you in the valley, was with you on the mountaintop, is with you on the plateaus and next to the water. He is with you. my encouragement to you as young adults is plant yourself in God's word and God's ways. And you will bear fruit in every season. And in every season, your friends and your family, your spouse and your children one day will eat the fruit of what you have planted yourself in now. It takes time for a tree to grow. It takes time for faith to grow. It takes time for me to like coffee. It just takes time. There's a discipline that turns into delight. Because the older you get, the more you can look back and say, man, God did it. I remember that season and I hated it, but I wouldn't change it because of the fruit that he bore in it. That now is blessing me and my family and my children and my coworkers. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you are not alone, that he has come in the flesh to be your king. The good news is the kingdom of God has come near. The question is, for us tonight, is where will you plant yourself? Will you move from anxiety to curiosity because you've moved from the kingdom of self, anxiety, to the kingdom of God, curiosity, knowing that he is the good shepherd who will lead you and comfort you and renew your soul? He will say, just follow me. And so when I think about all that you guys are growing up with, holy cow. The world's crazy. And it feels like we can't do anything about it. And so we might choose to numb out. We'll just plant myself in whatever's gonna numb me out. Don't do that. That is the walking, the standing, and the sitting. I'm just gonna sit and numb out. And you've planted yourself. I wanna encourage you. Open God's word. Maybe it's just Psalm 1 and Psalm 23 for you. Just over and over and over, let these be your prayer. Let these passages be your hope and your reorientation away from the kingdom of self and onto the kingdom of God. And you will bear much fruit in every season of your life. Don't take that as every season will be easy. He will take the hard seasons, the tragic seasons, the wonderful seasons, and just the normal seasons, you will bear wonderful fruit for the kingdom of God. And you will feed yourself and you will feed those around you, and it will be good. And it will satisfy your soul so much more than just grinding all by yourself. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And it's not just a good night's sleep. He's talking about soul rest. So as a young adult, you don't have to be enslaved to the unknown, the fear of that. You can walk with joy. You can live with excitement and curiosity of, God, what are you doing? I have no idea what's happening. One of my favorite things to do with my children is surprise the living crap out of them. Like, they're not expecting anything. And then we say, hey guys, tonight we're going out to dinner. Like, that's all it takes in our house, okay? And they lose their mind. They didn't know, and now they know because I knew. And at the right time, I will let them know. And then they will party with me and we'll eat queso all night. Like that, to me, that's what a good father does. That's what the good shepherd does. He's not gonna tee you up years in advance. He's gonna wait for just the right time. So when it happens, whatever happens, happens. You're like, God, thank you. This is so much better than I had planned. Because he's the good shepherd. He's not the withholding shepherd. He's not the micromanaging shepherd. He is the good shepherd. So, it matters where you go. Plant yourself on purpose and trust the good shepherd. He will not let you down. Because the cure for anxiety is curiosity in the good shepherd. So if you got something going on, go to him and get curious. God, what are you doing? I cannot see. Give me the patience to trust you. I often pray, God, would you just give me a glimpse? I'm a weak man. Give me a glimpse of what you're doing. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna leave those three things on the screen. I'm gonna pray for us. And I just want you to take a moment and just talk with the Lord. and ask him. Maybe one of these points brings up a question, or you feel like the Holy Spirit's nudging you on something. Talk to him about it. And then we're gonna sing one more song, and we're gonna praise the Good Shepherd, King Jesus, because there are two ways. There's his way, and there's the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world, it ain't going anywhere. It will lead to ruin. But the kingdom of God renews and restores, brings hope, it brings purpose and peace. All the things that you're actually looking for, Jesus has provided because he is king. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us with a steadfast, hesed love. God, that you loved us in such a way. The cross of Christ is evidence that you have loved us for the sole purpose of our benefit. May we not believe the lies of the enemy that says we have to perform for you. No, God, you have performed immeasurably for us by giving your son to redeem us. God, may we trust you. Holy Spirit, would you do a work in us tonight that brings us to a place of excitement instead of fear, a place of hope instead of despair. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen.